This is Saturday Morning Radio with Alice, presented by the NZ International Comedy Festival, powered by Flick Electric Co.
Very lucky to be joined by Guy Montgomery. His show, Let's All Get in a Room Together, happening at the New Zealand International Comedy Festival. Hey, Guy.
Hey, Alice. How are you going?
I'm good. How are you going?
I am so well. What a beautiful morning. Truly.
A beautiful Saturday. Excellent to be on a Saturday in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I'm all about.
You may know Guy from lots of comedy things, very hilarious, but especially his podcast, The Worst Idea of All Time, that kind of just blew up.
Yeah, and now it's a bad smell that I just can't get rid of.
People like me keep bringing it into intros.
It's probably, sadly, still tragically my leading credit. So until I outgrow it, I've built this millstone.
What credits are you trying to build? I mean, obviously your stand-up is great.
That's the dream. Stand-up comedian Guy Montgomery. And then everyone in their head goes, oh, and he does that, that, and that.
Because you've sort of kind of built a bit of a podcast empire now, a little
empire. Well, so it's quite interesting, really, to me, and certainly I imagine at least one other person. So we started the podcast together, and Tim has a radio production background, so he's very savvy at sort of all the technical elements, which I just can't stand. I like to show up and be funny and go. And so we've both sort of used it. This is our last year. It's our third season, and it's just too draining. So at the end of this season, we're going to call it quits. And it's been great. It's sort of, we've got to go to America. We've got to do shows, you know, in Australia and stuff with it. But we've sort of both taken what we want from it. For me, it's sort of a launching pad to keep pursuing stand-up. And Tim's looked at it as a, very sensibly, I think, podcasts are only going to get bigger. So he's built a little empire, as he calls it, a business. So he's got a stable of other podcasts. He's got Bones of the Heart and Walkout Boys and The Male Gaze and whatnot. So it's been great for both of us, I think.
I feel like it's a little hotbed of New Zealand comedic talent you've got there, all collected.
Yeah,
up.
Well, so he's got a small studio at the back of his flat. And so he's sort of just, everyone goes around there, they all have a laugh, have a good time, you know, share some memories, share some jokes.
Well, I recommend everyone to go check it out, but then come back to radio.
Yeah.
Podcast may be the future, but let's just hold on.
Well, there's
to the
live
last
element
tricks.
Of radio, and you just can't take that away.
I think the live aspect's what really makes it. I'm doing the, like, what do you call the sign?
See, now what you're finding is the limitation of radio where TV jumps in. You're trying to do an okay symbol with your fingers.
Yeah. But, I wanted, like, a noise, like a...
It's okay.
What's the noise?
I don't know. It's an Italian chef telling you that the meal's good to eat.
Thank you. That's a beautiful word picture. Okay, let's listen to some clips, because you've brought in some. I was going to ask you what one you wanted to play first, but I didn't. So what one do you want to play first?
Let's start with one of my favourite stand-up comedians, Norm Macdonald, please. Canada's own.
Okay, great. Let's have a listen.
Every day I meet somebody new, you know. Mm-hmm. This city's great because of the neighborly people, you know. I don't know. But I did meet one neighbor, interesting story, you know, that this guy just moved in, you know, next door to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm always one to meet the neighbors.
You like to chat with the neighbors. Yeah,
because, you know. So I went over to the guy, knocked on the door next door to where I live, and I say to the guy, I said, hey, I'm your new neighbor, you know, and I said, good to see you, you know, nice to run into you, you know, welcome to the neighborhood, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the guy, I said, what do you do for a living there, sir, you know, if you don't mind me asking? You know, what do you do for a living? I'm a nightclub comic, I tell the guy. So he says to me, he says, I work down at the University of Science there. He says,
That's a good school, by the way.
I can't remember the exact place.
Sure.
But he says, I'm a professor of logic.
Oh.
So he says, the guy says, logic. Now, what the hell is that? I never heard tell of that. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, well, he says, it's a kind of a pattern of syllogistic. He says, it's hard to explain. He says, why don't I give you an example? So I said, fair enough. Why don't you do that? So the guy says, well, he says, let me ask you a question. He says, do you own a doghouse? So I go, yes, I do. He says, well, then that means you probably have a dog. I said, yes. Mm-hmm. He says, well, that means you're likely you have a family if you have a dog. I said, yes, I do. He said, well, then that means you got kids, you're married. I said, yes, I am. He says, well, then you're a heterosexual man. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, sir, I am. He says, well, you see, that's logic there. I asked if simply from finding out you had a doghouse, I made this series of inferences, mm-hmm. and I found that you're a heterosexual man, simply from the fact that you had a doghouse. Mm-hmm. Well, I said, good God, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I said, well, I won't waste any more of your time there, neighbor. And I said, I'll see you. See you later.
See you around. Okay.
So I said, come on, come by one day and have a chicken with me. So anyways, I left. So I left. So I go to get a bus, you know, to the bus stop. Uh-huh. And I walk down to the bus stop, and I'm still thinking about this thing that happened to me, you know. And I'm standing at the bus, and no bus coming at all, you know. Yeah. And five or six of us standing around, and one guy lights up a cigarette there, and he goes, as soon as you light up a cigarette, the bus comes. Mm-hmm. And he smokes the whole damn cigarette, no bus comes.
Right.
So I said to the guy, well, that theory really worked, huh?
Yeah.
And the guy goes, well, sometimes it works. Anyways, the guy goes, what's new with you? Mm-hmm. I go, well, I had an interesting thing happen to me today. I said, I met my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, yeah? I go, he had a hell of an interesting job. I said, he's a professor of logic down at the University of
Science.
And so the guy says, is that so? He says, professor of logic. He goes, what the hell is that, logic?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, it's a series of scylla something or other.
Right.
I said, I can't remember exactly, but I said, I'll give you an example if you want to hear an example.
Yeah.
So the guy goes, all right, fair enough. So I said, let me ask you this. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you own a doghouse? Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, no, I don't own a doghouse. So the guy says, oh, yeah, you're one of them gays.
Such like a, you know, a long wait, but a good payoff.
Yeah, he's so good at that. It's so simple. He does a very famous version of the moth joke. Also a Conan interview. He's quite well known for stealing the show on Conan. But just super simple premise. And also, I've read a lot of interviews with him, and he says what he likes to do is know that he's just got a sort of a haymaker ready at the end.
Yeah.
And the fun for him, the game for him, is just inside of that, the construct of the joke, is just being able to take as long as you want, just so secure in the knowledge that everyone will be on board come punchline time.
I was, yeah, like pretty, I mean, at points I was like, it's like when your dad's friend tells a story.
Yeah.
Except funnier.
Yeah.
But you're just like, okay.
I just love that that cadence as well. Just so relaxed and in command. Like, he's saying such boring stuff, but he's so certain that it's the most entertaining thing that could be said.
Yeah. Amazing. Excellent. Okay, let's move on. What else we got?
So coming up next, this is sort of your classic parents sort of spoon-feeding you your comedy origins. So growing up, Dad was always, he was Spike Milligan, was his sort of his OG, and then he'd say, but Peter Cook is the funniest man who ever lived. And, you know, it takes a while to learn to respect what your parents are saying when it comes to opinions about what you think is good and bad.
Yeah.
But I remember when I left, after high school, I got given, or took actually, I think, his copy of I think it's called Unfortunately I Was an Only Twin, which is sort of this anthology of all Peter Cook's work, both by himself and with his best, you know, as he's best known, with Dudley Moore. And I can read that, you know, you can read those forever, and they're just so funny, so simple, so far ahead of its time. And this was at the Secret Policeman's Ball. So this is after they'd actually had their big creative boom, and they'd all been really having a good time working together, and they had a big falling out, which you can hear on the third Derek and Clive LP, which is quite a very gripping and sad listening. Like, it's two people who are in character where they can say anything they want to each other, and they're being so mean. Peter Cook's being so mean to Dudley Moore, but they still occasionally crack onto a few great riffs, and it's really funny. And then when the riff ends, you just hear them continuing to denigrate Dudley Moore. But this is after all of that. They've patched it back up, and they dug out one of my favourite sketches featuring Sir Arthur Strebe Griebling, who's a famous Peter Cook character. And he's this sort of, you know, idiotic, aristocratic sort of buffoon. Someone who, you know, he's so oblivious to how thick he is. And this is a sketch called The Frog and Peach.
Excellent. Let's have a listen.
Thank you. I'm talking tonight to Sir Arthur Grebe Striebling.
Oh, no, you're not.
What?
No, no, you're not at all. You're talking to Sir Arthur Grebe Striebling. You're confusing me with Sir Arthur Grebe Striebling.
Right, yes.
Yes, no, no, my name is Striebe Weaving. The T is silent as in Fox.
Right, yes.
Obviously confusing me with somebody else.
Yes, yes, I'm so sorry.
Yes, quite all right.
Not at all. Yes. I would like to ask... I would like to ask... Sir Arthur, something about his very unique restaurant, The Frog and Peach.
Well, this seems like an ideal opportunity, really.
Yes.
What with me being here and you being there.
Yes, indeed, yes.
Wonderful opportunity.
Yes, indeed.
Seize it.
I certainly will.
Good.
How did the idea of the Frog and Peach actually come to you?
The idea for the Frog and Peach came from in the bath. I suddenly thought to myself, where can a young couple with not too much money to spend,
right,
feeling a bit hungry, feeling a bit peckish, where can they go and get a really big frog? Where can they go? And a nice, good, fine peach. Where can they go? And, of course, answer came then. And so on this premise, I founded the restaurant.
On these premises, in fact?
On these precise premises, yes.
Yes,
I founded the Frog and Peach.
How long ago did you actually start this venture?
God, that's a tricky one. Certainly within living memory.
Oh, good. Good.
I believe it was shortly after World War II.
Ah, yes.
Do you remember that? Absolutely ghastly business.
Yes, yes.
I was completely against it.
I think we all were.
Yes, well, I wrote a letter.
Getting back to the Frog and Peach.
Of course, yes.
How has business been?
Let me answer that question in two parts. Business hasn't been, and there hasn't been any business. The last 45 years have been rather a lean time for us up at the old F&P.
Don't you feel you're at somewhat a disadvantage being stuck out here in the middle of a bog in the heart of the Yorkshire Moors?
I think the word disadvantage is awfully well chosen here, yes. But I thought at the time, rightly or wrongly, possibly both.
Yes.
The people in this country were crying out for a restaurant without a parking problem. And here, in the middle of the bog, in the heart of the Yorkshire Moors, there is no problem parking the car.
Right, right.
A little difficulty extricating it, but the parking here is a joy.
Yes, yes.
It's a joy.
Yes, yes. Don't you feel, though, you're at a slight disadvantage with regard to the menu?
Have you seen it?
Oh, very briefly.
That's the only way to see it. It is... It is so... So, what's the word? You sound there, isn't it? Yeah, it is so limited.
Limited,
yes.
Yes.
Yes. There are only two items on the menu.
Yes.
First of all, there is frog à la pêche.
Ah.
Frog à la pêche, basically a large frog, is brought to your table, covered in boiling Cointreau, with a peach stuck in its mouth. It's one of the most disgusting sights I've ever seen. The only alternative to frog a la pêche is even worse. Pêche a la frog. Pêche a la frog. A peach is brought to your table by the waiter, again, covered in boiling Cointreau.
The waiter?
Very often, yes. Very often the waiter is covered in boiling Cointreau. But the policy here is to aim the Cointreau at the peach.
Ah, yes, yes.
That's the policy.
Yes, yes.
The peach is then sliced open to reveal 300 squiggling black tadpoles.
Oh.
It is the most nauseating sight I've ever seen. Not to put you off your food.
Yes.
Which is a damn good thing, considering what the food is like.
Exactly. This is fascinating stuff, of course. But I would say that the whole venture of the Frog and Peach has been a little disastrous.
I don't think I'd choose the word disastrous here.
No?
I think catastrophic would be nearer the mark. The whole thing has been a gigantic failure and a huge catastrophe.
Yes, but do you feel that you have learned from your mistakes?
Oh, certainly. Certainly, I have learned from my mistakes, and I'm sure I could repeat them exactly.
Yeah. so good. Kind of like you were saying from your parents, kind of like your comedy greens, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so, I think it is really... colored the way, so the podcast I do with Tim, the worst editor of all time, where it's the self-made prison, and then it's just having to exist and try and justify it, its existence from within it, and it's the same thing there. It's that's the way the gag plays out, and I just think it's so funny to give yourself sort of impossible odds and then have to rail against them.
It's great. It's really, really great. Whoops, just accidentally. Yeah.
A little bit of footsies for those of you wondering what's happening in the studio.
You guys can't see it, but you can hear it in our voice.
Yeah,
that something
the
just
chemistry is electric.
Okay, let's move right along. What's our next clip?
Our next clip is from the same stable as Peter Cook and Dudley, only years later. So it's a television show called Brass Eye, and this was created by Armando Iannucci, who's actually speaking at the Writers' Festival tonight. And cool. Chris Morris. And so they started off working together on a radio show called On the Hour, which was sort of this faux satirical, topical current events show. And it just mimicked newspeak. And so there's a lot of just nonsense, but presented in a very serious tone that Chris Morris would anchor. And that's also where Alan Partridge, the character Alan Partridge, was born. So from there, it became a TV show called The Day Today. And then after The Day Today, actually, I might be in the order mixed up. I think after The Day Today it was, yeah, then they did Brass Eye.
I just want to interrupt and say that, Guy, I feel like you have so much knowledge, and you're just laying it out. Maybe it's that obviously you chose these clips, but I just feel like I'm being educated.
Yeah, well, that's very flattering. Certainly, I provide no sort of depth of information or practical value in any field outside of this very particular setting, so it's flattering that it's paying off.
No, it's amazing. I'm loving it.
And then they went on to do Brass Eye, which was probably the heaviest in terms of satire of all the shows that have come out of Britain. Armando Iannucci, by the way, went on to do The Thick of It, which was sort of the British political show, and then that went on to be In the Loop, which was a movie where British and American politics met, and now he's probably best known for Veep. He's the creator and was the writer and showrunner for Veep, but he handed that off. So Brass Eye, their most controversial episode was called Peter Geddon, and it was an episode about a paedophile boom happening in Britain, and it was probably the most controversial episode of television that ever aired in Britain. And it was all about sort of satirising news hysteria and our reaction to big events and the way it's treated. And this is from that episode. It's a very short clip, but it's